I'm telling you, those guys are ranked number one in the country. Monsters.
Yeah.
I thought Pitt was going to come back and get it done, though. They opened up the game, blew it out like it was like 15-0. It was embarrassing. Then Pitt fought their way back. I was enjoying some college basketball last night.
I bet you're a quiet observer, too. You just sit there. Or you do a Zumba dance while it's going on.
How's it going with our kids? That's what I want to talk about today. How to have a new kid by Friday. How you like
wow,
that?
Wow, where were you when I needed you? It's too late for me.
Hey, some fun questions just to get started this morning. Driving down the road, cup of coffee. Just think about your kids for a moment. Do you feel close with your kids? I mean, how's it going with them? There isn't a parent listening right now who doesn't know whether or not he or she is close with their son and or daughter. Mm-hmm. And closeness is everything. Let me turn it on its head a little bit further. How many of you could raise your hand and say, I'm exhausted? Mm-hmm. Seriously, I'm exhausted. I'm frustrated. Maybe you feel like you're butting heads all the time. Here's a great question. How's your discipline going? Mm. Do you feel like you're always given time out?
It's also negative, or it can be.
Yelling?
All very negative, yes.
We don't yell around our house? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We never yell!
Scream a lot, but never yell.
Right.
You know, for some, they feel like they have to spank a lot, or they are spanking a lot. I mean, how's that going? How's it working for you? I think most Christian parents are getting a lot right. But there are a few areas that they struggle in. The biggest one is really about how to be close with our kids. You guys, I came across some statistics this week that's crazy. Seriously.
Really?
Today's generations, those kids born after 1990,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Megan would fit in there. She's born in 90. Zach was born, I think, late 95. Mm-hmm. Better get those right?
Yes, you're better. You're the dad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they call them Generation C. Listen to this. They're always, they're connected. They're communicating. They're content-centric, whatever that means. They're computerized.
Yes.
They're community-oriented, and they're always clicking. These are kids who grew up. They've always known the internet. They call them PDDs, mobile devices, preferred digital device, whatever they carry around in their hand.
Mm.
These kids have everything. They're into social networking. Stats on how much time they spend with gadgets per day vary from 6 to 7.5 hours a day minimum.
Hours?
Hours yes. a day. Seriously. They all have phones. Even the little tykes have phones. You know that?
I've noticed that.
Yeah, and they're all related to computers in some way. Seriously.
Right. Yeah.
It's all changed. What's interesting about parents is a lot of parents now, because of what the communication spin or cycle is, they feel very what?
Left out.
Disassociated.
They don't know how to connect in that world. Mm-mm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's a piece by New York Times. 8 to 18-year-olds, over 7.5 hours a day with techno gadgets. There's the stat. I said what, 6.5 to 7?
Mm-hmm.
7.5 hours. That means 75 hours a week. Catch this. Mm. But less than 38 minutes a day reading. Mm. New York Times went on to say there's a direct correlation between the use of time with gadgets and obesity, poor grades, impatience, violence, and a loss of
individuality, I would say.
Family interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that something?
It is.
Well, hey, the bottom line is nobody's going to love your kids like you do.
Amen to that.
And the truth is, at the end of the day, what makes kids more happy than anything in all the world is a great relationship with mom and or dad. How about mom and dad? Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm.
You know that? And it's what settles and calms them. I just want to take some time today and have some fun. We're just going to talk about how to have a new kid by Friday. Meaningful couple time is going as low as 7 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Remember, we did the program on marriage last week.
Mm.
You know, I picked up a stat and I just shook my head on it. It's hard for me to believe. AC Nielsen Company said the average parent today spends about 3.5 minutes a day in meaningful conversation with his or her son or daughter. That's real hard for me to believe. But A.C. Nielsen said that. That was related to this whole technology is creating a generation gap. You know that?
Wow.
With kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wonder what the age is on that whole study.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is we're struggling to connect with our kids. Saw this too recently. Top 10 sources of stress for kids. And by the way, I think most parents would say, you know what? They're worried about their kids.
Mm.
It seems like their kids are worried or stressed a lot about a lot of stuff going on in their life. Most would say they're pretty overloaded, crazy schedules. Yep. Most parents feel a little frazzled. I know it's true in our life, but if you were to crawl into the life of a kid for a moment and think about this, you know, the average kid faces about 1,200 commands a day.
1,200 people telling them what to do?
Yeah. 1,200 commands a day.
Get up, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Time for school.
Would you get up?
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you start working. Did you brush your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
And you start going through it, 1,200 commands a day. The best kids, they say, can only keep about 80% of them. All right?
Wow.
So you can see the frustration level coming in for parents. Think about kids who are a little challenging and how difficult it is for the parent-child connection piece there and what it starts doing. Now watch this, the top 10 sources of stress for kids today. Number one, mom and dad having problems. It's pretty sobering when you start looking at the whole relationship piece. When mama and daddy aren't connecting and they aren't happy, nobody in the household's happy, seriously, when
you start
looking at this. Number one stressor for kids, mom and dad fighting. Number two, or mom and dad having problems. May not be fighting, but they pick up on the fact that there's money problems. There's illness or extended family problems or you name it, job stress.
Yeah, and many times, Tim, we think if we don't talk about it in front of the kids that they don't know. But children know when things are subtly hostile.
Yeah,
they know.
It's quite obvious when you come home and mama isn't happy. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As Jeff Allen would say, happy wife. Happy life.
Yeah.
Best to get it out in the open.
And see, it's the same principle. Kids pick up on it all, too. Come on.
Oh, sure.
Mom, man, she's crazy tonight. I mean, dad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, dad.
Yeah, it's dad.
Fights with friends or siblings hit the list as number two. Number three, obviously, school stuff, tests, homework, grades. Number four, struggle with looks or self-esteem. Saw a piece that 85% of today's kids want to change something significant about themselves.
Yeah.
Big sources of stress. Number five, privacy, all the way down. Moving hit the list. Money.
Mm.
Money's a big issue. And by the way, you know what else made the list? Teachers and coaches who don't like you.
Ooh.
Stress kids out. Uh-oh, we could do a whole program on
we
that.
We could.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should do a program on it.
We will. We'll make note of that.
Hey, connecting with our kids. Where do we go? How do we get there? And what matters most? You guys, first of all, just some scripture. And I think this new year, new kid type thing. Let's go back to the word for a moment. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127:1.
Mm-hmm.
The key principle there, mom and dad, is you can't give well what you don't do well. So if you want to anchor yourself, if you really believe that God matters, it's the old, draw a circle. Somebody get in the middle of that circle and say, God, let it start right here first. We want to have godly kids. If you're wrestling with good night, their choices and what's going on in their life, step back for a moment and say, what are they seeing in me? What am I modeling to them? You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, children, in that same passage, behold, children, verse 3, are a heritage of the Lord. Do we really believe they're a gift from God?
Mm.
Sometimes they act like the devil, if you know what I'm saying. But, hey, are they a gift from God? Is there something about them that you love and that they know you love about them? You see what I'm saying? And verse 5, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. You know, I grew up in a family of 8.
That's a large family.
That's
isn't
like
it?
The Duggars, man. Seriously. 19 and counting. I mean, we fought over macaroni and peanut butter bread and oatmeal. You know, food with substance.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't make it out to McDonald's very often.
No, I wouldn't
back
think.
In the day.
Mm-mm.
Matter of fact, the closest McDonald's was like 20 miles away. One time, you'd be like, hey, One time they had 10-cent hamburgers. Can you believe McDonald's having 10-cent hamburgers? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had $3.20, went and bought 32 burgers one night. Okay, 32 hamburgers.
Well, the next question is, did you eat them all?
We passed them out among the boys. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Mm-hmm. You know, go back to the Bible here for a moment. Unless the Lord build the house, Psalm 127:1, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Two different perspectives on that verse when you look at theologians and parenting experts. One is train him up in the ways of God. Yes. And when he's old, he won't depart from him. In other words, you better pound the word in him, get him into church. And we would all agree with the importance of a spiritual heritage and legacy. You know that? That goes back even to Timothy. Hey, the unfeigned faith that was first in your grandma and in your mother, and I'm persuaded, Paul said, that's also in you, Timothy. That's what he wrote. You know that?
That's right.
That's a multi-generational flow. We know in family psychology, for example, systems tend to reproduce themselves. So if you look at pathology, for example, alcoholism runs in families. You know why? Because there are patterns associated with families that often drive, I'll say drive people to drink. No, I mean, but you hear what
right.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the patterns are there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens in families, like with challenging disorders like schizophrenia and stuff. You start seeing multi-generational flow. The same thing happens with the good stuff, multi-generational flow. Good fathers mm-hmm. produce what?
Good fathers.
Mm-hmm. Man, you guys are sharp today.
We are.
Hey, let me throw one more. The second part of that verse is their natural bent. One says, train them up in the way of the Lord. The other says, train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, according to their uniqueness. Each child's different. And I'd be sensitive to them. And I like that version too, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be parented the same way my younger brother Tom was. You know that? Mm. He crazy. I was healthy, you know?
Right.
No, I'm just saying, you got and so you want to be sensitive to kids. Hey, one more verse here, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. These words I command you shall be on your heart, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, and you shall teach them diligently to your children when you sit, walk, lie down, raise up, whatever. That's just, again, about that multi-generational flow of the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 1, 5, there one more. That's that unfeigned faith in both mom and grandma that flows into you. That's a good word. Now listen to this. 1 Timothy 5:8. If you don't take care of your kids, the word says what? You're worse than
an infidel,
an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, guys? I'll tell you what bothers me. And yes, we're going to get to how do you have a new kid by Friday. What bothers me is the pace, the pressure, and the pain of modern day life. And the toll it's taken out on our kids. Now, I'm going to throw the pace stuff in with all the gadgets and all that stuff, robbing us of time. You know, a kid will spend more time watching television and doing devices by age 6 than he'll spend with his father or her father for the rest of her life.
Mm.
I mean, we've got a big gap problem. We need to figure out how to step up and get it done. The good news is I think a lot of moms and dads are starting to move in that direction and are starting to get it done. God save the kids. I'd have a new kid by Friday.
I like that title.
I love it.
That's actually a Kevin Lehman title off a book he did.
Is it?
Yeah, that's done very well. How to have a new kid by Friday. New kid. No, what is it? New year, new kid.
Wow.
Here we
go.
Yeah,
that's
number one, what can you do? Praise him. You know, I attend a lot of sporting events, you guys. There's a lot of yelling that goes on. Not necessarily a lot of positive affirmation that goes on. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Most of us want a little attaboy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Not what you're doing wrong all the time. It's what are you doing right? Encouraging the positive. Here's why it's significant. If you look at relationships, go to marriage for a moment. It takes 5 to 20 positives. This is research. 5 to 20 positives to counteract one negative statement in a marriage. So if you're pounding somebody, this is what you're doing wrong. What are you? You see what I'm saying? For every time you do that, you got to do 5 to 20 positives.
That's right. And I think that's true for all of us.
It is.
In any, not just kids, but everybody.
Most people would say that that's one of the key reasons why we're raising a generation of angry kids. You hear what I'm saying? Don't provoke your kids to wrath. It's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6. Why? Because you can. See, hey, a little bit of praise goes a long ways. I've often said that one of the ways you should look at parenting for a moment is the good boss, bad boss syndrome. What are the characteristics of a bad boss?
Just on you all the time.
Yeah. What else?
Don't appreciate you, don't value you, critical, don't really care.
You're driving down the road right now. What do you want to throw in?
Don't care, you know.
Yeah, and you start thinking about those things for a moment. Then what are the characteristics of a good boss?
Basically the opposite things. The
encouraging.
Barry's holding his hands up over there. Yeah, I mean, somebody who is encouraging, somebody who is in your corner. Okay. He's got your back.
Now think about this. If I had a few moments to sit down with your children and ask them how you're doing as a parent, good boss, bad boss, wonder what the report card would be. You hear what I'm saying? How about a little praise, second P, push them or practice with them. I don't have any problem with challenging our kids. As a matter of fact, I really think kids need to be pushed academically. They need to be pushed spiritually. Like they do need to be pushed athletically. A coach, if he's going to draw something out of them, he just can't be mamby-pamby and stuff around. You know what I mean? We've got work to do, especially as they climb up. But the truth is you set in order the core principles, fundamentals of the game early, and then you learn how to play the game later. And it takes a tenacious ride to get there. Mm-hmm. This idea of pushing and practice for a moment, I mean, it takes work to build muscle. It takes work to grow our kids. There's nothing wrong with expectation, but there's a continuum in there. It goes back to the word praise for a moment. It's the support challenge continuum. You got to know when to push them and when to encourage them. When to push them and draw it out and when to what?
Lift them up.
Absolutely. You see those two pieces? Third P, wrap up this piece, play with them. It's the relationship factor. Goodness, the research is replete with stuff about relationships. You've heard Josh McDowell preach for years. Hey, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. If all you're going to do is pound them and you're not going to be there with them, it'll never work. It'll lead to rebellion. Okay? Rules with relationship leads to respect. Isn't that what we're looking for? How about a little respect around the house? Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to the relationship factor. Listen to this statement. Heard this from a pastor. My dad, a pastor said this to me. My dad, Tim, never played one game of catch with me. He never played one game of catch with me as a kid. You know what? I know life's crazy. The pace, the pressure, the pain is eating us all up. But let me say this, mom and or dad. You should be the first one to what? You should be the first one to go out and play. And we know this, that 20 minutes a day of command-free special time with your child, 20 minutes a day of crawling into their world on their terms, okay, will revolutionize your relationship with your kids. How about 20 minutes a day? The bottom line is this, nothing compares to you in their life. First of three P's, praising them. Praise goes a long ways. Pushing them or practicing with them. Nothing wrong with expectations. You need to have some expectations. You have dreams for your kids. Hey, let's put it in play. Mm-hmm. Let's get after it a little bit. That's important. The support challenge continuum, though, relates back to the first P, praise. Know when to support them, when to challenge them. Don't be beaten on them all the time. And that's, by the way, accentuated when you look at the third P, play with them. That's a relationship piece. Show me a home, by the way, that's all that's going on is discipline, and I'll show you a home that's lost relationship with your kid or kids. And the way to get it back, you guys, believe it or not, is play with them. Spend time with them. You ought to be the first person to go out and play ball with them. Take them fishing. Or, hey, whatever your child likes, find out what that zone is. Crawl into their world for 20 minutes a day. Revolutionize your relationship. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got a big couple right now that I'm working with. You know what I have them on? 20 minutes a day in his world and in her world. And you know what? All of a sudden, things are starting to change.
Well, you get a view from a different perspective.
It's just nice knowing somebody wants to be what?
With you and involved and cares and loves.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Really?
Number four, the fourth P, pray with them. For and with your kids. I wrote this down in my notes. Getting on your knees with your kids leaves a lasting impression. It does. And I remember about my dad. He's a great man of prayer, pastor, nearly 60 years. My dad called me and prayed with me basically every night up until he died. But I remember my dad on the bus run. There was a special place where he used to go pick up the kids on the country roads, the dirt roads, and bring them to the main macadam or paved roads. And they'd jump on the big school bus, number 17. And we'd drive all the way to Machanan Valley High School. But there was this place where he parked his Jeep. He always had his Bible. And when we'd go by, his Bible would always be right in the middle of the steering wheel. And I know he spent almost an hour right there. That every morning, doing what? I knew what he was praying for.
Yeah.
Every one of us by name. Probably took an hour to pray for all 8 of us.
Well, it was, seriously.
Here's a couple of thoughts about prayer. Prayer opens heaven's doors. It ought to be the first and last part of your day. One of the greatest deterrents to an active prayer life is the belief that all has to be right in order to pray. Mm-mm. God's just waiting for you to get there. What do you pray about, Tim, and when you pray with your kids? Man, simple things. It's okay with your kids to pray about their exam, family. How about the dog, cats?
Mm-hmm. We used to pray for our animals all
the
time.
Team, pray over your food. Teach them to be faithful in little things. They can start expecting big things, too, from God. That's big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pray with your kids. Mm-hmm. Pray for them and pray with them. The fifth P, develop a healthy pattern in your life. You walk and you talk. You say a bunch of stuff, but you never do them, Dad. You say a lot of stuff, but you never do them, Mom. Hey, Coach, you said a lot of stuff, but you never do what you say. You create expectations, but you never reward kids for what you've developed in terms of expectations for them. No wonder they don't respect you back. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Getting a little touchy there.
Well, the Bible says better not to vow and not follow through than vow and not follow through.
True.
That's it. Better not to vow.
Yeah.
Better not to promise.
You know, the old WWJD, what would Jesus do, all that kind of stuff. I mean, hey, bottom line is, kids look at you. What does Mom and or Dad do? And does your lifestyle, goes back to Ephesians 5, your walk and your talk, do they match up or are you bogus? Are you throwing a bunch of religious garbage at your kids? Are you really living out a life of Christ before them?
Mm-hmm.
That's big stuff. And by the way, you can't give well what you don't do well. Number six, pain. This is my favorite one. You've heard me do this before. Being honest about life, about people, about pain, about boundaries, consequences, about discipline. Sometimes, you know what you say? Little Davy, you better not do that, because if you do, here's the consequence. You hear what I'm saying?
And then you've got to follow through.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, you know, only make commitments on stuff that you're really going to stay with, and make sure it matters. A lot of parents, you know, discipline.
Yeah, I had a situation. I remember this very vividly. Girls got in a little bit of trouble, nothing major, but the mother was standing there with me, and she looked at the daughter and says, "You're grounded for 3 months." And I'm thinking, "Oh, whoa, you can't follow through on that one. Grounded for three months.
Yeah.
Well. Pain, being honest about pain. Life's full of pain. There's some tough stuff. You got to go with them through it all, too. You know that? I like that line in Rocky, Mr. T. What's the prognosis for the fight, Mr. T? Pain.
That's right. That's
life's going to be full of pain, gang. We need to teach our kids not only about it, but how to get through it. Mm. And they're watching you, Mom and Dad. Last P, perseverance. Don't quit. You know that? There are going to be a lot of reasons to get frustrated. You don't get a lot of attaboys as a parent. But I'll tell you what. Dr. Falwell used to say, you never determine greatness, or you determine greatness not by what it takes to discourage him, you know that, or defeat him. Good night, Tim. Get it right. You determine greatness by what? What it takes to defeat a man or woman. You know that? What's defeating you? What's discouraging you? Press through stuff. Mom or dad, if you're down a little bit about your relationship with your kids, problems aren't your greatest enemy. Everybody's going to have problems. It's what you do with them that's going to determine your future, whether or not you're going to press through it. You know what? The bottom line, I can't think of anything more significant, a more important legacy in your life than having positive, wonderful, loving relationship with your children. You know that? Children who are in heritage of the Lord. And I love that verse in, I think it's 1st or 2nd or 3rd John, one of those three. I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. That's a beautiful day. You know that?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, love your kids. Nobody's going to love them like you do. How to have a new kid by
Friday.